Hello, this is Senior Missional Pastor Mike Abron. So I'm going to be doing a little topical training on ministry organizations. And we're going to talk about really what the Bible shows about ministry organizations and running an effective organization, dealing with it from a biblical standpoint. And of course, the primary example is Jesus Christ. The funny thing is that a lot of times people don't even realize that the Bible has answers for all of our today's issues. A lot of times we think because that the life of Jesus was over 2,000 years ago, that sometimes because we're more modern and we have more technology and more options, more things that they didn't have access to in his day, that we think that the principles that were laid out are not something that's effective, but we can be much no further from the truth. I mean, that's just like beyond reality from according to the scripture, because the scripture shows perfect examples of how we can be effective in life, ministry, our physical health, how we eat, taking care of ourselves, our families, our jobs, everything. I mean, it's right in the scripture. So, on this topic of ministry organizations, we're going to come from the book of St. Luke, chapter 4. And the main scriptural theme, or the main scripture that we're going to come from is the verse is verse 18. So that's St. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. So when we talk about ministry organizations, we know in our modern day that we have to, a lot of people get them incorporated. I mean, you could do a ministry without incorporating it or registering it as a legal entity, but there's a lot of things that you cannot do as an individual that you can do as a legal entity or even as a group of people, there's things that you can't do because you're not a legal entity. You can't do it in that name because you're not a legal entity. And that name, I'm referring to the name of whatever your organization is. So we see that Jesus was announcing his ministry. He was announcing his purpose. And I'll go ahead and read it. And remember, this is the King James Version, so you will hear some of the words like the these and the thous. If that so happens, you know why. So, St. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So we're going to go right from there. That scripture and verse, we're going to go right from there, from the chapter and verse, to actually address how a ministry organization functions. You say, how does that talk about? That's him talking about his purpose, his mission. How does that relate to a ministry organization? And how does that even prove that there's even a ministry organization structure in the Bible? Well, we'll answer that one right now. The ministry organizational structure of Jesus, you saw him traveling with the disciples who later became apostles, sent ones, and he had a treasurer who was Judas, who actually handled the money. So that means obviously money was coming in. They had an organization where they were reaching people, massive amount of people. They was working with others and helping others and feeding others, taking care of people both naturally and spiritually. And they were bringing deliverance through the life and ministry of Jesus. Of course, Jesus was working with them as the leader. If he had a ministry title or as far as a name for the organization, I would just call it Kingdom Enterprises. Now, that's not literal in the name he addressed it, but I call it that because his mission was to release and reveal the kingdom of heaven to earth. So that's what he was here to do. He was here to demonstrate the power of God. And he announced that in his mission statement, which he just stated that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So we're going to take from that first statement and take our first point that the ministry organization and secular, the funny thing is secular people use this as well. Ministry organizations need to be focused on the benefit of others. Any ministry that you're doing, it needs to be focused on the benefit of somebody else. People who've invented clothes or created certain type of cars or elevators or different things, they did it with the mindset of somebody else benefiting from it. It wasn't to necessarily their benefit in initially. I mean, of course, people have created some things and become very wealthy off of those inventions or creations, but it's because they had an intention to actually benefit somebody else that it was so successful. They took care of a need that was out there. So he identified that he was anointed, he was empowered to preach the gospel to the poor. The second point, that he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind. These are all things that are tied together with dealing with the needs of people and going out and bringing deliverance and bringing, just the brokenhearted peace and healing in their souls and their physical bodies. And this from this point, we take that he had a team of with that had one mind and of different gifts. And you say, well, why do you say that? Because for him to do this, he actually was grooming the disciples who also worked with him and assisted him in this work. You might recall one instance where they couldn't cast out a demon, the disciples. And Jesus came along. It was a boy who, was just possessed by a demon. And the disciples couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said, bring me the boy. And he cast the spirit out. And the disciples go to him later and say, hey, why couldn't we do it? He said, by faith, by prayer, and fasting, but you need faith. I'm just paraphrasing. This is not his exact words, but this is what he was saying to them. And we see that they were working with him as well as even before he ascended, he breathed on the disciples and sent them out to go and preach the gospel and bring healing and deliverance to the extent that they even ran across other people who were doing that in his name. And the disciples asked him, should we stop them? And Jesus said, no, those that are for us, they're on our side. They're not against us. They're not fighting against us. They're actually have received from me, and they're out there doing the work also. So we see that he had a team with him, not just to hang out and just support his personal needs of physical the physical presence of someone around him and, bodyguards or whatever you want to think of them as, in our modern day. Because if you see somebody with or a group of people with a leader, you think, oh, those must be all his bodyguards, especially if they're looking out for this person, which some people do call in our modern day armor bearers. And they'll have them and they'll carry their bags or they'll drive them around and they'll protect them and look out for them and different things like that, be as like security. But Jesus didn't have them just hanging out with him. He had them for partnership in the work of the kingdom being demonstrated. And so he had a team of different gifts, different passions, different backgrounds, and they had the same mind that he had to go out and bring deliverance and heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, and to bring recovery of his sight to the blind. And that was both naturally as well as spiritually. So we take that second point from there. Okay, so we'll go ahead and close out this audio here, and we will continue this topic in the next.